Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you online, on air, in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, as we begin a brand new year, I'm very excited about the series that the Lord has put on my heart for the next couple of months, actually, here in January and February, as we launch into a new year. The best portrait of the Lord that came to my heart for this season of our life is how He is our new life. Jesus is our new life. Oh, that's the portrait of God that we're going to be focusing in on for the next eight broadcasts. And so I hope you'll keep up with that as we take a long journey. In fact, it could go much longer. There's so much under this topic of what the Lord, our new life, has done for us when we come to Christ. And oh, it's going to be a magnificent journey together through the love letters of the Lord, throughout which we see all kinds of portraits. And so I'm really excited about this one, how He is our new life. And if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 17 here in a moment. But as we, as you make your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God because it has all kinds of tools on the front page, a box that has videos, 3-minute videos of Portrait of God, a box that has articles, and then a box you click on to get all kinds of printed outlines and guides on all kinds of topics. And then a box you can click that says Broadcasts, and then the next landing page, you just click on Portraits of God, and you have the archives of these 27-minute radio broadcasts. So you can find that all at markpg.org. And all of those are designed to do one thing, help you hear God. Speaking of which, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, you know how much I love and I'm so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet and gaze in your eyes and let you speak to us heart to heart. And Lord, though I get to be the ambassador, the spokesperson for these messages, I mean, I'm receiving them myself, Lord. Thank you for the constant reminders and the new truths and the new ways to view all the things you've done for us, Lord, to keep it fresh, keep it exciting, keep us moving forward. And Lord, as we get ready to launch this series on how you are our new life, we know that this is the season of year we make New Year's resolutions. And if we were to get real honest, they last maybe a day, maybe two, because the real thing is, all we need to focus on is going deeper and deeper into you, and you make all kinds of changes within us, like we're going to be discovering in this journey together. So thank you, Lord, for being our new life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as we start our biblical safari through all kinds of scriptures and glimpses of different portraits of God, under this big portrait that we call He is our new life, this is the theme verse that's launching us into this journey of discovery about how much He has given us a new life, the one who is our new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, puts it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Let me just stop there. Anyone in Christ, obviously he who is saved, the person who is saved or born again or in covenant with Christ, we say that so many different ways, but when we become a Christian, when we enter that covenant, when we repent of our sin and ask Jesus to take over our life, it's not just getting a fire insurance policy from hell. It's not just kind of a contract of some time, because it isn't a contract anyway. It is a covenant. And we become one with him. But here, it's putting it this way. If anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. I mean, that is just phenomenal. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creations the moment we get saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that look like? What does it mean? Well, to give us a little bit more of a glimpse, let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, if you want to jot that down and you're a note taker, because this first of, right now I've got 20 things we're going to be talking about in these 8 weeks, but there may be more by the time we get through with it. Anyway, because there are more. I was just trying to pick out the top 20, but we might have time to do more in that 8 weeks. We'll just see how far along we get. But the first thing, number one, is how the Lord is our new life, who transforms us into new creations. That's number one. The Lord, our new life, is the one who transforms us into new creations. Did you know you are a new creation in Christ, my friend? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 breaks it down a little further in this passage where it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may," here it is now, "your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here it is. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. You are becoming a new creation in one sense. You have already become a new creation in another sense, and you will become a new creation in another sense. Why do we say it all three ways? Because we're talking about your spirit and your soul and your body. We're going to see that our spirits become instantly made alive. And then we're going to see that our souls are progressively becoming new. And then one day we're going to get eternal, brand new, imperishable bodies. So, looking at the big picture first of all, then, under number one, how he transforms us into new creations. One of the best ways, I think, to illustrate this that I've found over the years is to think in terms of how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Now, you might remember your basic science as a child, that the process of metamorphosis takes place. Isn't it amazing? And by the way, at our home, we have 7 grandchildren now, and most of them under the age of 8. So we planted some milkweed in the backyard so that it would draw butterflies. And of course, these butflies come. And what do? They feed on the milkweed, but then they also go, caterpillars come and that are destined to be butterflies, and they form this chrysalis. And in the chrysalis, the metamorphosis takes place where this creature that was once on the outside and in actuality looking and acting and living as a caterpillar goes into this chrysalis, and in time, in the inside of that chrysalis, it becomes transformed into a butterfly, which starts breaking out that chrysalis, and it falls dead away. And now you have a creature with beautiful butterfly wings who is now able to fly and enjoy the flowers and the meadows and the skies that God created it to enjoy. It no longer has to crawl around in the dirt as a caterpillar. It becomes transformed into a new creation. Isn't that amazing? Now, by the way, in case you're curious, I didn't use the word cocoon. It's commonly used for a butterfly. It's technically chrysalis for a butterfly. It's cocoon for a moth, which goes through the same kind of metamorphosis, by the way. And they're very similar. They're kind of cousins, but they're different. So anyway, the point here, though, is this whole amazing thing called metamorphosis, where a caterpillar is transformed into a new creation, and this new creation is a butterfly. Now, this is a great metaphor of what happens to us. If anyone comes to Christ, anyone gets saved, born again, they become a new creation. By the way, born again itself talks about a new creation. I just love seeing brand new babies. I mean, it's amazing. They're so tiny little fingers, tiny little toes. In fact, of our 7 grandchildren, there was one set of twins, and the twins, they were born a couple of months early, maybe even 3 months early, as I recall. They were like 3 pounds and 4 ounces when they were born. I mean, they were tiny little things, and it's just an incredible thing. These are new creations, and they've grown into lovely little girls, active, smart as a whip, and as have all the other grandchildren as well. I just love being a grandparent. You get to be the grace of God, you know. Parents have to kind of be the judgment of God in addition to the grace of God, but grandparents almost get to exclusively be the grace of God. I just love that. Oh, I could chase that rabbit down the trail a long time, but I won't. Let's get back to these butterflies, right? So, as a new creation in Christ, when we were sinners, we were like the caterpillar, kind of crawling around the dirt, and destined to do that. But yet, the miracle of the Lord drawing us unto himself and opening our eyes to see, the miracle of our saying yes to his invitation to become one with him, enters us into this kind of a chrysalis state that becomes a transformed creature by metamorphosis to become a butterfly to fly around and enjoy the creation of God. Now, here's the thing. You might think, well, I've gotten saved, if you have been saved, and I still struggle with sin. I still have problems. I don't feel like I'm flying and enjoying life like I should. Well, okay, I understand that. In fact, let me take it one step further. You know, you could even be seduced by the enemy to believe you're not that much changed, to believe that you're still a sinner, you're just acting Christian-like, to believe that God hasn't done much for you. And he can so get you disoriented that you can end up folding up your wings, crawling back into that broken and dead chrysalis, and acting just like a caterpillar who has not yet been transformed by metamorphosis into a new creation. You can choose to do that. You can be duped into doing that, but that would be a tragedy. Oh, my friend, see who and what you are in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is there still sin that we struggle with? Yes, we'll explain that a little later. But the reality is, by nature, you have become a butterfly. Now, in theology, there's this two nature versus one nature debate. Some of the traditional theology would say we have two natures, that, you have your old human tendencies and sinful patterns, but then you become a believer, and now the Spirit is speaking to you more, and you wanted to do things, but the very thing you want to do, you don't do, and all that thing that we talk about in Romans 14. And the big question is, how do you explain that? And some will say, well, we have two natures. You have the old nature, which is kind of the black dog, you know, and then you have the new nature. Oh, that's the white dog. Well, which one is going to win? Well, the one that you feed the most. And so that's how there's one attempt to describe and explain the inner turmoil that we have between sin and yet living righteously as unto the Lord. Others of us will say, no, there's just one nature because the old things have passed away. But what is left over? Well, there's some tendencies left over, but that is not you. Those are just tendencies, old memories, old patterns that the Lord wants to heal you from. Again, we're going to get more into this when we get into the dead spirits, the struggling souls, and the eternal bodies in the next points. But I just want you to see the big picture, that when you became a new creation in God, you became infused with God. You became entwined with God. You entered into a divine union with God. He's the divine part. You're the human part, but you are one in Him, and that's what makes you a new creation. Before you got saved, you were just humankind. Your spirit was dead. In fact, that's number two. We're seeing how the Lord, our new life, is the one who transforms us into new creations. Number two, He resurrects our dead spirits. That's what happens when you get saved. He resurrects your dead spirit. You're dead. Your spirit was dead. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, if you're following along in the scripture and wanting to jot this down. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings or in our trespasses or in our sin, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that powerful? What did He make alive? Our spirits. We're a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit, but our spirits have been dead. Why? Because of original sin back in the Garden of Eden. So let me just kind of slow down a bit, and let me explain this a moment. It's fascinating. So you remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had been created by God, two different ways, by the way, that's another story. But there they are living in the Garden of Eden. God had everything that they needed for them. He had one restriction, which is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, but of all the other trees of the garden you shall eat. You know, okay, well, what did they do? Well, we all know that they... Eve and then Adam ate the fruit from the wrong tree. They disobeyed God. And God had warned them, if you do that on the day that you eat of that tree that I tell you not to eat of, you shall surely die. Hang on to that. Because you go on into the story, and they did eat of that fruit, but did they physically die? No, their bodies were fine. Did their soul, which is body, which is mind, will, and emotions, did it die? No, very much there. Well, what died? It was the spirit part of them that died. That's one of the many tragedies of original sin. And it was passed on from generation to generation, where we have these dead spirits that need to be made alive. A miracle has to happen to have our eyes opened, the eyes of the heart, to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ as He says, I have good news for you. I want you to be in covenant with Me. I want you to be born again. I want you to adopt you as sons and daughters. I mean, the scripture gives us so many metaphors about this. And when we see our sin, our separation from God, and our horrible destiny, if we don't come to Him, we can make the decision to follow after Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strengths. It's a resurrection that is waiting to happen because God is in the resurrection business. He loves raising things that are dead. Of course, He did it when He came to this earth to live a sinless life, to be crucified on a cross, but then to rise again, to resurrect. And He does it in all kinds of ways, not the least of which is us. When we get saved, old things pass away, all things become new, our spirit, our dead spirit, is resurrected, and now we're able to commune with God's spirit to spirit. That's an astounding thought when you really start to chew on the reality of this. So with that in mind, let me read this again. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him. And one day seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. That is you, my friend. Because Jesus is our new life, who transforms us into new creations and resurrects our dead spirits. We become a new creature, a divine union, part human, part divine, not because of anything we did, but because of everything that God did. This whole thing about our fruitful oneness in Christ is difficult to grasp. I realize that. In fact, the scripture specifically tells us that. An earlier series I did last year was the deeper dive of a life in Christ, because he is our deeper dive. And I talked about how metaphorically it's kind of like plunging into the sea, and at the shallow waters we experience the Lord as our merciful Savior. Why? Because we are downcast sheep. Upside down is what that means. Can't get on our feet again. We're doomed to die unless somebody mercifully comes and puts us on our feet, saves us. So he offers us a gift of salvation. And the first level down is how he's our merciful Savior. Next, we discover something deeper, that he's our gentle teacher. He wants us to be his teachable disciples. This is how he changes us with his truth and his ways. But don't stop there. Keep going, because also we have the opportunity to serve in his kingdom, because he is our gracious master and we are his grateful bondservants. We're not forced slaves. We get to serve him, not have to serve him. But don't stop there. We keep going deeper into our plunge into the depths of the sea of our life in Christ in this deeper dive. And see, he is our loving father or our loving bridegroom. Scripture gives us both of those metaphors, how we are his beloved family, and he loves us more than we can possibly imagine. But the deepest of all is what we've just been talking about, how we are actually a new creation in Christ. He's formed us in the mystery of union with him, divine and human at the same time, but it's his nature that's the divine part. Our part's the human part here, and one day it'll become even more fused, which we'll see later. But my friend, that is who you are in Christ. Fruitful union in Christ. A divine union in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, and then verses 3, put it this way. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, Christ being in you and you in Christ is that divine union, that new creation we've been talking about. That's the butterfly creation that you are, no longer a singular a caterpillar without a spirit that's alive. No, it's been made alive, and that enables you to be this divine creation in union with Christ. It goes on to say, so that we may present every person complete. So you're incomplete before Christ, but now you can be complete in Christ now that your spirit is being made alive again by his marvelous touch from above. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you become a new creation. You've got a new identity, and you are identified with Christ. You even take on his name. You're a Christian, a Christ follower. That's the tradition we have in marriage, where a young lady becomes married to a young man. She takes on a new name. She takes on his name. Why? That's to signify that the two have become one. This mystery is great, the scripture says, but I'm talking about not just the miracle of the marriage, which was ordained by God for a man and for a woman, but also he says in that passage in Ephesians that I'm also talking about the mystery of Christ and the bride of Christ. We become one in covenant with him, transformed into new creations. The Lord also resurrects our dead spirits. And that's why, my friend, I hope you never lose your sense of wonder about being saved. It's not like, oh, you've heard a few facts and yeah, I guess I better make a rational decision here. Okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and pray to receive Christ. Yeah, let me just say that prayer, walk that aisle, get wet in the baptistry, and boom, I'm in. If it's that casual, if it's that simply cerebral, just head knowledge, you're missing it, because this is a heart thing. It's recognizing that we weren't Cinderella wooing and impressing Prince Charming with our beauty, and our beauty not just externally but internally, so that he wanted to marry us. No, we're the evil stepsisters. Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us and made a proposal to become one with him forever and ever. That's the Lord, who is our new life and offers us a new life. He transforms us into new creations, and number two, resurrects our dead spirits. Well, Lord, we thank you for the start of a marvelous journey of all you've done for us as our new life, because we do have new life in you. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love with Jesus, our new life.